With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm originally from Baytown, Texas, and I've been living in this godforsaken state of Alabama for the past 11 years.
Yes.
And I think there's a special place in hell for Nick Saban and Bill Belichick.
That's Clint Sterner's uncle earlier today on Mad Radio on Sports Radio 610. Clint, riding with me, the OG John Lopez, enjoying the holiday Figgy Fig, keeping us on the air. I didn't know your uncle called into shows, Clint.
No, I didn't either, but I appreciate that, man. I love the fact that he gave Baytown a shout-out, and then he said he hated Saban in Alabama. I mean, you know, playing at Arkansas, I can relate to all of the above.
I don't blame you. Big day yesterday in the NFL Championship Sunday. Something that we've gotten used to around these parts. A lot of people don't like it, but the New England Patriots are going back to the Super Bowl, and it only took about 10 seconds afterwards for the obnoxiousness to sink in. This is the Patriots Radio Network play-by-play of the final call, the game-winning touchdown by the Patriots.
Second and goal to go from the two. Allen motions left to right, then reverses direction. Brady under center. A give to Burkhead. Runs it left for the win! Touchdown, Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53!
What a call, Sosi. We're going back, baby. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. America's worst nightmare is back. We're going to our fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. Pack your bags. Start our buses. We're coming home, Boston. Oh, my God. Can't believe it. It's not their year, right? It just might be.
Man, a lot of people throw up in their mouth when they see that. I've gotten to the point, Clint, where I'm just going to bow down. I'm just going to bow down to the Patriots, and I don't even think it's a bad thing for Texans fans, because I think the biggest nightmare would be Pat Mahomes getting that monkey off his back and jumping over that hurdle in his first full year as a starter. I think at the very least, you have the quarterback, Pat Mahomes, who's linked to Deshaun Watson. They're going to be linked forever because they were in the same draft. At the very least, while he steps ahead of Deshaun Watson, at least he hasn't gotten over that mental hurdle that a lot of quarterbacks struggle to get over.
Yeah, no, look, there's no doubt about it that he's had a huge amount of success in his first year, but unfortunately he ran up against the best to ever do it, and the best to ever do it said, I ain't done yet, you know, and so just Brady's magic wins again. I think it's just a matter of times. I mean, I think we'd be a fool to sit around here and not think that the Chiefs and Mahomes and Andy Reid and this crew they've got in Kansas City doesn't make serious runs towards the playoffs and towards the Super Bowl for the next 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's hard not to imagine. I almost felt bad. I almost felt bad for Andy Reid because, you know, he just can't get over it. He can't get over that hump. And he's been doing this nearly two decades. Of all the people I felt bad for yesterday, I don't give a damn about the Saints and their fans. I don't care about those whiners. I'm glad I don't have to be around them, quite honestly, when we go to Atlanta. But I felt really, really, really bad for Andy Reid. Yeah. Like really bad.
Just for losing in that fashion?
I just want him. Of all the people I want to get to win a Super Bowl, I just feel like Andy Reid, I think he needs the vindication. I think he's already one of the more respected offensive minds the last 20 years, but I would love to see him win a Super
Bowl. Yeah, no, I can't disagree with that. I think he's a guy that's easy to root for. I think he puts a product on the field that's fun to watch. And so, yeah, I would like to see him, win. On the big stage but look, I mean, there's no denying, what he's put together on the field, whether you're talking about the Philly days or you're talking about the KC days as of now this past year and what the next, however long he wants to coach the next 5 or 10 years, what that holds is definitely going to be, impressive and fun to watch and give him a chance. But he's a very easy guy to root for, and I would have liked to have seen him win it. But look, I'm on this. There's a lot of good. I keep talking about the NFL just keeps giving, man. I'm in the corner of the Patriots until Brady gets through. I mean,
you're in the corner.
I am. I'm not a fan, but I greatly appreciate what they're doing, man. I know how hard it is to win football games at any level, but much less at in the NFL, and in the playoffs, and now in Super Bowls. And he has 11, I'm trying to remember the stat last night I saw on TV, 11 fourth quarter game winning drives in the postseason alone. In the postseason alone, he has 11 fourth quarter game ending, game winning drives in the fourth quarter. And it's just, we just kind of glance over that stuff. A lot of quarterbacks don't have that many in their whole career. And this guy's done it in the postseason. And we just glance over it and the culture that they have there and the chemistry that their players have and the fact that they do more with less. We just glance over it and say, yeah, it's just the Patriots. We expect them to be there. But man, what they're doing is, it's hard to wrap your head around.
It's hard, and I just don't know when it's going to end. I'm one of those people who's written them off every year the last 4 years, but I almost enjoy being wrong at this point about them because I don't think we would truly appreciate it. I don't know if this is just like a new generation where we want to hate on who's on top, but it just doesn't seem like when you look at other great all-time greats, and Tom Brady's up there with the Michael Jordans, it feels like Michael Jordan was at least embraced a little bit more. It just seemed like people at least like admired him a little bit more. I just feel like this is like Michael Jordan at least went and played baseball for a couple of years or something like that. Like
yeah.
this is absolutely insane. And I think it's got to be appreciated because there's they say this all the time. There's never going to be anything like this again.
It'd be hard to think. It'd take a long time to get there. If you and I'd be old and gray by the time they get there, man.
I mean,
if somebody else does it.
Especially in this league. I mean, there were 6 new teams in the playoffs this year. There were 8 new teams last year. And the Patriots have been to the conference championship for, 8 straight years
years, man.
Think about that.
It's nuts. And think about it from the perspective, again, of how they're doing it. I mean, I think people always want to put star players in the same sentence or the same conversation with Jordan, right? I think Kobe deserves to be there. I think you got to have that certain amount of dog in order to be in that category. And I think Brady's got it. Even though he walks a little bit softer. He's not quite as loud with it. He's not quite as over the top with it. I think his competitiveness and his drive to win is right there with Kobe and MJ and them guys. Just the way at which he does it is nothing else matters. We're going to do everything that we have to do to put ourselves in position to win. I just think very few guys over time are truly willing to do that. And definitely in today's world, there's far less that are really willing to do that and push their teammates to that level. To win at the level that these guys have won at, man. It's just what Brady's doing with me at receiver baffles me.
Yeah.
I mean, bro, Edelman would be third or fourth on any other team out there.
That's the thing I was thinking about because, the Patriots make some, I don't want to say controversial, but they let some guys go that make you say, wow, that guy looked pretty good there. Like Danny Amendola, they don't miss him at all right now. When's the last time someone left the Patriots and just smashed? Like when they let these guys go that are even having success with Tom Brady, when's the last time they just let someone go and you know what? The Patriots could really use that guy. It never happens.
Right.
Deion Branch wins a Super Bowl MVP. We don't even hear from him. It's insane what Tom Brady's doing. And then all of a sudden Rex Burkhead is in there making plays. He's probably their third best running back. It's ridiculous. I'm with you on the Edelman thing. The play everyone's talking about though, came in the Saints game late in the fourth quarter. Saints looking to take the lead over the Rams. Third down inside the 20. And this is what happened.
Third down and 10. Breeze from the gun. Takes the snap. Goes to the near side. Hit early. Where's the flag?
You don't get one.
Early hit on Tommy Lee. Sean Payton is all the way down at the 10. Unbelievable no call.
Wow. Not a flag to be found.
Unbelievable.
That's the second time. You can't challenge it. I mean, he doesn't even look for the ball.
Nickell Roby Coleman.
That's the second time Nickell Roby Coleman has gotten away with a play like that.
He is 4 yards before the ball is there.
That's the Saints Radio Network. It's what everyone was talking about, Clint. The Saints end up having to kick a field goal. The Rams then tie it, send it to overtime. Saints actually get the ball first. Breeze throws an interception, but the Rams kick a 57-yard field goal in overtime, and they advance. And everybody's talking about this call. Everybody's up in arms. A lot of people in New Orleans not happy. it doesn't bother me as much as it does Saints fans. I get that it probably should have been called, but man, it's such a bang bang play, and they had so many opportunities here, and I think they shot themselves in the foot in large part because of the head coach.
Yeah, I mean, I think in hindsight you can pick it apart, but at the end of the day, that was the worst no call I've seen in college or pro ball of my lifetime. That's the worst.
The worst call you've ever seen.
That is the worst relative to pass interference. That is the worst. And look, I hate the BS calls around the quarterback's knees and the hand to the helmet that got called. And I mean, I hate the sissification, for lack of better terms, of the NFL and college football, the direction that it's going. I hate all that. So I'm not one of those guys at all.
You got a little OG in you.
I think it's killing the game, but this was hands down pass inter. You can't miss this call because the game was over. At that point in time, if they convert that first down, the game's over. You take three knees, you kick a field goal. They got less than 15 seconds on the clock with the kickoff having to take place. The game is completely over. That call cost the Saints the game. Any way you slice it, it cost the Saints the
game. Did you not think it looked like it could have maybe been uncatchable?
No.
I mean, it looked like the ball was a little bit underthrown, and it's such a bang bang play. I get you're calling it the worst call ever. I just think that's a very hard call to make, and there's a lot of pressure on an official too, just because if you miss that call, then the game's over. I think there's just so much pressure on these officials, and I really didn't. I thought that it was a little bit underthrown. I thought that the receiver was very, very little, so maybe the guy's looking at him thinking he's not going to catch it. I think if Breeze puts that a little bit more in front, then they get the call.
The point, what makes it so egregious to me is that if you watch it, regardless of how you break it down, if you watch the play, the DB hits the receiver and the ball is behind the DB. I mean, the defensive player is between the receiver and the ball, and he's knocking him off his cleats. I mean, there's no way to slice this thing. It was hands down pass interference. And I disagree with everybody talking about the game, the play clock, game clock mismanagement, passing the ball on first down. I completely disagree, with that being a bad call. I watch coaches every year or every game go down and they settle for field goals when if you could have just got one first down, kneeled it out, then kicked the field goal, the other team never would have gotten the opportunity. So I'll argue that they were one first down away from putting the game away, not giving the ball back to a very high powered Rams offense.
But you want them to use timeouts, don't you there? I mean, that's the wouldn't you run it on first time? I think Alvin Kamara getting 8 carries in a game is a travesty too.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched. I have to wait till the coach's film comes out to watch why somebody did or didn't get carries. But to me, when you've got the guy that set the highest completion percentage ever in NFL history was 70-something percent last year. You got Michael Thomas, one of the best big hands receivers in the game. You're in a situation where one more first down allows you. First of all, they're going to have to use their timeouts. You're going to be able to kneel this thing out. You're going to be able to kick a field goal to win the game and take the ball completely out of their hands. I just don't have a problem with them being aggressive. I don't have a problem with them being week 13 or 12, somewhere in there. We watched Kansas City lost to the San Diego, or not San Diego anymore. I guess it's LA Chargers. We watched them lose a game to them because they went in there and they went run it three times and then punt instead of stick to your guns, man. You're an aggressive offense. You throw the football. Saints are one of the best passing offenses in history.
But don't you need to adjust in the playoffs? Because on the other side of things, McVay, and they have a high powered offense. There were multiple times where he just flat out trusted his defense. There was one time where they had 3rd and 12 and they just ran it and punted. There was other times they had the ball 4th and 1 to go for the lead. And on the 1 yard line, 4th and goal from the 1, the Rams kicked the field goal and he trusted his defense. Don't you think in the playoffs, it maybe changes a little bit, and you got to adjust
I think in every situation, not just playoffs, but, man, I mean, in the fourth quarter, the situation that you're currently in, the field, like, I think McVay, whatever was going on with Gurley, I think impacted that decision. I think if Gurley's healthy and he's hammered down and he's running the ball between the two, he's your typical Gurley, what Gurley was the last 18 weeks. If he is that guy, I think they go for it in that situation from the 1 yard, 4th and 1 from the 1 yard line. I think given the situation, he decided to take the field goal. And like you said, he can lean on his defense a little bit. But I'm just saying that I can't sit here and go, that was a dumbass call not running the ball on first down, and it was just terrible management of the game clock. I can't agree with that. Could it have gone either direction? Sure, but I just can't agree with the fact that that was clock mismanagement. You're one first down away from putting the game away.
Are you a stop away from winning? You're also a stop away from winning without them not having a timeout. But I know you're the aggressive type. I might be a little bit conservative.
But Landry, I want them to stay in their skin. You know, if it was the Cowboys,
then
you run the rock. That's what you do. You know, but if you're the Saints and you got the best, the most accurate quarterback of all time, and your offense is hitting on all cylinders, I can't argue with you being aggressive. I couldn't argue with the Chiefs being aggressive. That was my point with the Chiefs back in week 12 or 13, whenever the Chargers came back from a 15-point deficit to tie and end up winning it. That's my point, is you went conservative, and that's not what you do. I mean, you're an aggressive football team. You're an offensive-minded football team with a defense that plays nothing but man, and you know they're going to struggle. You got possession of the ball. Stay aggressive. Get completions. Make them use their timeouts with completions. Get the first down. Kneel the thing out. Don't ever put your defense back on the field. These offenses are just too good in today's game to play with the old school mentality of we're just going to leave it in our defense's hands.
Last year, the Saints season ended because of the Stephon Diggs miracle. This year it ends because of that. So if you're a Saints fan, you've had a lot of punches to the gut. We're going to hear from the Saints fans and what they're saying in New Orleans next. We're also going to hear all the weekend gum bumping, including Baker Mayfield putting on quite a comedic display. That's next on Sports Radio 610.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.